Well, my name's Dave. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm really glad that you guys are here at Catalyst with us. If you guys will take out your bulletins, and we have outlines there for you. We also have a lot of announcements there that you can read. We also have a visitor card. If you guys will fill that out sometime during the message here, and let us know a little bit about you. We take prayer requests. We have a prayer team. We pray for things that are going on in your lives. We take that very seriously. So if you guys will do that, that's fantastic. Well, we're in a brand new series called The Advent Conspiracy. And I just have a confession to make. Most pastors don't like December much. It's very, very difficult to come up with things to preach about every December, because what happens is that it runs into the same old thing. You know, one of my fears as a pastor is that I'm just going to sit here and tell you stuff you already know. That's one of my fears. I don't want to do that. Whenever I was sitting in church and a pastor would simply tell me stuff that I'd already heard 100 or 150 or 200 times, It wasn't very relevant. So being creative and trying to come up with things at Christmas time is a real challenge for pastors to do. And so we are taking Christmas from a little bit of a different perspective. Today you're going to hear a little bit of a different message than maybe you're used to in December, and that's on purpose. And I hope that you will that you will enjoy it. But we're in a series called The Advent Conspiracy, and today the title is The Skew. Okay, the skew. Now, let me begin by saying I love Christmas. I love Christmas. Ever since I became a dad, especially, if you don't have children, Christmas, you know, it just takes on a whole new meaning when you have kids. Can I get an amen from the parents there? I mean, it is so exciting when you have kids and you get to buy gifts for them and everything. And I love Christmas Vacation, still the best Christmas movie of all time. I have to watch that. I love It's a Wonderful Life. I love Christmas cookies. I love the whole deal. I hate shopping, but other than that, I love Christmas time. So I want you guys to realize that I love Christmas, okay? And keep that in the back of your mind. But I was thinking, what is the deal with Christmas? Why did it happen? And people say, well, that's when Jesus was born. Now, actually, look in 1 John 3:8. This is the reason for Christmas. Look at this. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Whoa. You don't hear that much at Christmas time, do you? The reason Jesus was born, the reason Christmas happened was for one purpose, and that was to destroy the devil's work. So now we ask the question, what is the devil's work? What is it? Well, how many of you guys have seen Back to the Future? Have you got any Back to the Future fans in here? I love Back to the Future, okay? I love it. Back to the Future 2, you know, when they go into the future and they get the sports almanac, right? You guys know what I'm talking about? And Biff steals it and he takes it back to 1955 and he gives it to his former self and everything. Well, then when Marty and Doc Brown go back to Hill Valley, what happens? It's totally different. They don't recognize the place. It's being overrun by motorcycle gangs, and this nice community is full of gambling and all kinds of. It's basically a den of sin. It is, okay, and they're trying to figure out what happens. And there's a scene where they're in the old library, and Emmett Brown says, "Well, we were traveling along this way, and at some point it skewed into this alternate reality, into this alternate thing that to you and me doesn't make any sense, but to everyone else is complete reality." Okay? And guys, that's exactly what happened in our world. There was this thing that God created, and he had created it to be amazing, that we were going to be live forever in fellowship with God. Things were going to be great. There was no sin, no evil, nothing in this world. But in the beginning, there was a skew, and sin entered the picture. And I want to read about it right here. This is in Genesis 3, 1 through 9. We made it two chapters obeying God. In the third one, we mess it up. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat of any tree in the garden?'" What was the command? "Don't eat of the fruit of the tree of life." That's the only command, the only rule we had. And we couldn't follow it. Verse 2, "The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die.' You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that if you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. We see temptation entering the picture. Verse 6, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was there with her, and he ate it. And eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together to make coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called the man, "Where are you?" And it's at that moment right there where it's skewed, where our eternal destiny, which was heaven, changed. And we took a course because of sin that would take us to hell. That's exactly what the devil's work is. Okay? And guys, point number one, because of Genesis 3, this is a reality, a cold, hard reality. All of humanity is destined for hell. Do you know that? Like, whoa, this is a Christmas message. You're not supposed to be talking about that kind of stuff here. Guys, I'm talking about Christmas. We have to talk about why Christmas is necessary. Guys, this is reality. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So how many of you guys think about hell at Christmas time? Now, I'm not talking about Black Friday shopping, okay? Okay. To me, that's like hell is one endless mall that I can never leave, okay? That's what hell is to me. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about hell, the place in the Bible. The Bible describes. How many of you guys think about that at Christmas time? We should, because hell is the reason for Christmas. Hell's the reason for Christmas. You know, hell has disappeared from American Christianity. I don't preach on it much. I'm afraid to. You know why? Because I'm a wimp. I'm afraid that somebody will hear about it and get turned off and leave. Okay? And pastors all over America are making the same decision. We don't want to talk about hell anymore because that makes people uncomfortable. Well, it's been terrible for American Christianity, and this is why. This is why. Why do you need a Savior if you don't need to be saved from anything? That's what American culture out there is saying. Because hell has disappeared from America. It's not talked about. It's not preached about. We don't like to think about it. So we push it to the bottom of the barrel. And then we say, well, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Well, why do I need a Savior? What am I being saved from? Okay? And that's where we are right now. But guys, hell is the reason for Christmas. And if you don't understand this, you'll never understand Jesus. You'll never understand Jesus. If you don't understand that hell is the reason for Christmas, you'll never understand Christmas. You'll never understand Jesus. Jesus will be one of three things to you, okay, if you don't understand hell. Number one, he'll be an annoying guy who shows up from time to time and tells you to give money, okay? That's what a lot of people think Jesus is, okay? Or second, he'll be a butler who shows up to serve your needs at the snap of your finger. Oh, God, I need this business deal, so... Grant my prayer. Lord, I need this. Give me what I need. Lord, give me what I need. Okay? If you don't understand hell, then that's who Jesus is. Or the third one is a therapist who helps you cope with life. You know, a guy who dispenses good advice. A guy who can tell you how to live your best life now, but not save you. Guys, if you don't understand hell, then Jesus will be one of those three things to you. And especially at Christmas time. And that's what we reduced Jesus down to without a proper picture of hell. So guys, I want to give you four things here, because if you don't understand this, Christmas will never make sense to you. Okay? Christmas will never make sense to you until, write these down, number one, you understand what it means to fear God. You understand what it means to fear God. Now, why in the world would that be important? Well, listen to what Ecclesiastes 12:13 says. Now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. He says, this sums up all of life right here. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Fear God. Now, it is really strange to be talking about the fear of God. But my community group that meets on Wednesday night, we're doing a series by Francis Chan called Basics. And the very first one was called Fear God. And I thought to myself, man, this is a pretty hardcore topic. What, I mean, aren't we supposed to love God? Are we really supposed to fear God? I mean, all the fire and brimstone stuff started running through my mind as we were watching this. But Francis Chan got out there and he said this. He goes, you know, it's amazing to me, he says, how the culture goes one way and the church kind of follows along with it. He says, and when culture decides something that is neat or cool, it's like the church tries to follow that. And the church gets embarrassed about certain parts in the Bible that aren't popular in culture. And we try to explain those things away. You know, when the Bible says to fear God, well, that doesn't jive with our culture. So we try to explain, well, that doesn't really mean be afraid of God. That doesn't mean fear God. That means just have a healthy respect for God. It doesn't mean to be terrified. We try to explain it away. It's almost as if we look to the world and say, tell us what we should be saying about God. And I wonder how many churches and how many Christians will present a palatable, culturally acceptable view of Jesus this Christmas season. Not one that's true, but one that people like to hear. And he talked about the Bible being very clear that we are to fear God. That, as a matter of fact, one of the descriptions of evil people is that there is no fear of God in them. And if you understand Christmas, what if you began looking at Christmas in the light of being a fear of God? What if you began looking at Christmas in light of God being the omnipotent ruler of the universe, the majestic, enthroned in splendor, whose will is not optional, whose word is not is not negotiable, who in the Bible says has the power to destroy both body and soul in hell? What if we began looking at Christmas in light of a God who accurately in the Bible is described that way? What would it be like? Have you ever been truly afraid, like fearful? I mean, like afraid, like terrified? I was 6 years old, and I'd never seen a diving board before. And my brother and I and cousins went over to a swimming pool in Louisville called Plantation. And Plantation had a 10-foot high dive. And I watched some kids go off of it. I'd never even been off a 3-foot diving board before. And I was 6 years old, and I being the daredevil that I am, I'm like, I'm going to do that. So I climbed up, and you know how things look a lot taller when you're actually on them, you know? Okay, the 10-foot high dive doesn't look like much when you're on the ground, but man, when you're up there and you're 6 years old. I got up there and I got to the edge and I looked down and I can remember the feeling of abject terror. I mean, I'm talking in the gut. You know the kind of gut terror, okay? To this day, I can remember that. It's the only time in my entire life I've ever shook with fear. And to make it worse, there's a big line of kids behind me yelling at me, calling me names, you know, go, you know, wimp, you know, it was even worse. And finally, I turned around, but there's a line of kids, so I couldn't go back down. So I just said, oh, man. So I just go. And not only did I hit the water, but I hit the water in the wrong way. I kind of like this. It was awful. It was horrible. It's terrible. And I remember the fear, the terror that took over me. To this day, I can remember that. Is that the way I'm supposed to feel in the presence of God? Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly how I'm supposed to feel. Whenever God approached people in the Bible, they shook with fear. He had to tell them, do not be afraid. Is that the way we are here, Catalyst? Together, does God constantly have to tell us, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Because we have a fear of God? No, not often. But guys, if we don't understand what it means to fear God, we'll never understand Christmas. We never will. Okay? God should constantly have to tell us, fear not. Okay? And the second thing that Christmas will never make sense to you until you understand the true state of humanity and yourself. And I realize this is not going to be popular, but it's got to be said. True state of humanity. When I was in college, I got a credit card. And I was a freshman in college. And I was decent with money, but I still didn't quite understand the whole credit card thing. And there's a month where the food at college was not any good at all. It was terrible. Okay. And I was playing soccer. I was hungry. I needed food. So my friends and I just started going out to eat like every night. We get pizza. We go to Giovanni's, go to Fazoli's and just swipe the credit card. Okay. and things were going great. The food was great. I didn't have to eat it at the Dining Commons, the Cowan Dining Commons there at Center. Didn't have to eat there, and things were good. And then one time I went to check my mail, and there was the bill. And I opened up the bill, and I was flabbergasted at all the expenses. And I looked at this bill and I said, "This can't be right. This can't be right. It was for $127. Now it doesn't sound like a whole lot of money, but when you only have $40 to your name, it might as well have been $27,000 because I couldn't pay either one of them. Okay. And the thing is I went back through I realized I ate there. Every one of those charges was right. Every one of them. And I was on the hook for them. And see, I had coasted through that month not realizing the expenses I was racking up and the ones that I was going to have to pay. Okay? And guys, that is a very true picture of us right now. We're kind of in that credit card phase. We're kind of in that credit card phase. And the sins that you and I are committing are going to come back and we're going to get a bill. And there's not going to be a single wrong one, guys. There's not. And Ephesians 2:1 says this, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." Now, guys, I want to tell you something about myself. I'm not in need of a little tweaking. I'm not in need of a little good advice. I'm not even in need of some good therapy. Guys, I'm dead because of sin. Not only am I dead, I'm not just a good person who occasionally messes up. The Bible says I am dead because of my sin, and so are you, and so is everyone in this world because of the skew. I'm a rebel, worse, a sinner, worse, a blasphemer, worse, an idolater, worse. I'm a man whose fair deserved place is hell. And can we understand that, guys? You'll never understand Christmas, okay? See, guys, the Bible doesn't say we need therapy or some improvements. In the words of my seminary professor, we have fallen and we can't get up because of our sin. Okay? And I want to tell you what the Bible says. I'm just speaking truth here, that hell is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a place where described where fire is never quenched. It's a place that's the absence of everything good. Absence of hope, absence of love, joy, pleasure, laughter, friendship, reason. Evil has free reign, okay? And until you understand that that is the default mode of humanity, that is where we are all headed, you'll never understand Christmas. The third thing, Christmas will never make sense to you until, third, you realize what an amazing thing God did to save us, okay? This is where it becomes beautiful. Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we are still sinners, Christ died for us." You know, you think, why are you preaching about hell at a Christmas service? Because understanding hell, guys, get this. Listen, everyone listen. Understanding hell makes Christmas 1,000 times more beautiful. It makes Christmas 1,000,000 times more beautiful. You know, I can remember reading about Martin Luther King Jr. and the civil rights movement, the civil rights struggles that he went through. And I heard that because of his work and everything, we got rid of the Jim Crow laws and the segregation. Okay? That didn't mean much to me. Until I started understanding how awful it was before. I started hearing stories of what the Jim Crow laws did to degrade an entire race. I started learning about these things, and I realized what this nation was saved from, and it made the sacrifice of Martin Luther King Jr. that much more beautiful. Do you know what I'm saying? Once you realize how awful something is, it makes the solution to it so much more beautiful. And guys, once you realize you have a healthy, biblical understanding of hell, all of a sudden, Christmas becomes the most amazing thing in the world. The most beautiful thing in the world. More than just a shopper's holiday. More than just a great retail time for stores. More than just getting together with family. It becomes everything. The most beautiful thing you've ever seen, other than the cross. That's what Christmas will never make sense with you to you until you understand that. And guys, Christmas will never make sense to you until you accept the gift of grace. Accept the gift of grace. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. He took the skew and put it right back to where it was originally intended to be. You, God, together. Eternal life. That's what Christmas is about. I read a story. I'm a history buff. Read a story about when the wagons were going west. And one of the biggest dangers that the wagon trains faced were brush fires. Some of the brush fires would start and they would sweep across a plain at almost 50 or 60 miles an hour because of the dry conditions and the wind. And once a wagon train saw a brush fire, there's no outrunning it. The brush fires would come and just consume the entire wagon train, burn it up like that. Until a wagon train master came up with a very good solution to this problem. When they saw a brush fire coming at them, he went behind the wagons and lit it on fire and set his own brush fire. And the brush fire took off and went in the direction of the wind. And then he would get the wagons to go to the place that was already burned up, where there's no fuel for the fire. And they sat there and they watched the brush fire come at them and go around them, and they were safe. See, they had to go to the place that had already experienced wrath so that they wouldn't experience it anymore. In the same way, that is what Christmas started. We had, because of our sin, had to go to a place that had already experienced wrath. That was the Son of God. And he died on a cross and took the wrath of God away from us so that we didn't have to experience it like the brush fire. You guys see what a beautiful thing Christmas is? You see how amazing Christmas is? Knowing what you've been saved from, it makes Christmas 1,000 times more beautiful. So I don't want you to walk out of here thinking, oh man, you know, I'm depressed, I'm discouraged. No, I want you to think, wow, look what this season means. Look how beautiful this season is because of what I was heading towards and what I've been saved from. If you've never accepted the gift of Christ, I invite you to do it today. See, guys, I want to reframe Christmas today. It doesn't matter if you don't get what you want. Christmas isn't about the gifts anyway. It doesn't matter if you don't have friends and family to get together with. I mean, I understand how nice that is. That's not what it's about. You can be joyful this Christmas season knowing that what you've been saved from and basking in the beauty of the Advent conspiracy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. When I look at you, when I look at what you've saved us from and realize that you mean business, that your will is...